Good morning. You can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians. And we're getting some lessons from Corinth. We're actually looking at errors that the church must avoid. Errors that the church can fall into, right? Mistakes that are easily, easy to slide into. And we need to just be aware of them. And it's good to take care of what we have and to manage it correctly. So we're looking at some errors. And today I'm going to be speaking on the error of human wisdom. Error of human wisdom. Now, just to make it clear, I'm not talking about becoming foolish with money management, right? I'm not talking about us giving up practical wisdom, right? There is such thing as practical wisdom, and we need that. But I want to talk about the error of human wisdom, because human reasoning sometimes starts replacing God's Word. Our reliance on God's Word becomes replaced with our human intellectual wisdom and reasoning. And that's what we're talking about. We'll talk about irresponsible faith later on, right? That's when people actually equate faith to be careless, right? Well, we have faith, so we do things that make no sense and no reason at all. We can't ignore practical concerns, just expecting God to handle everything miraculously. That's not what we're talking about today. Today we're talking about actually reasoning away from God's Word because we're leaning on our own understanding. And that's always a mistake, as it talks about in Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. You know, we are to preach about sin. We're to preach about morality and doctrines. And we must be guided by God's Word for this, amen, not human logic or cultural norms. And that's what we're going to be speaking about today, God's wisdom directing our life and our church. So, speaking about human wisdom, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. I'll start reading there. It says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring things to naught that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Wow, Paul really goes off and he gets into this point about wisdom. And I think it comes along right after he's talking to them about divisions, because I think it's very important, because I think the root of their divisions was partially because of this. It's because of human wisdom. They loved human wisdom, and they were getting all conflicted over human wisdom. They were putting all this human reliance, or all this reliance on humans and human wisdom, that they started making factions, and oh, I'm with this guy, and I'm with that guy, and they started dividing up all of it according to their human intellect. And this was causing division and causing problems. And so Paul has to go into this and say, guys, don't you remember what this is about? It's about God's wisdom, not about man's wisdom. And y'all are all dividing about all these men that y'all are following. This is not right. And so he goes into a long discourse about wisdom. Wisdom, wisdom. Wisdom is mentioned, I can't remember how many times, but I think it's over a third of the times wisdom is mentioned in the New Testament. It's right here in the book of 1 Corinthians. Paul talks about it a lot. He's trying to get them to understand what is God's wisdom and what is human wisdom, and the error that it is to fall into the desire to be led by human wisdom rather than God's word and God's wisdom. So I want to start right now just by bowing for a word of prayer. Real quick, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for your mercy. We want to thank you for your gospel. We thank you, Lord, for the grace that you have given us. You've shown us, and you've opened our eyes to the great promises that you've given us through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, this is not something that we have merited. This is not something that we have gained by ourselves or of our works. Lord, this is something that you simply gave to us. And we're so grateful, Lord, that you hid this from the wise, you hid it from the mighty, and you gave it to us. Lord, you gave it to simple men and women. And we're so grateful for that, Lord. We come here today and we ask that you would open our eyes to your knowledge, to your wisdom. Give us understanding, Lord. And be with us today as we search your scriptures and understand your word. We ask that you would help us apply it to our lives. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. So, human wisdom is different than God's wisdom. And human wisdom, sometimes you may look very foolish by doing what God considers is right to do. I think of David, for example, when he shows mercy to Saul. I mean, isn't that a strange thing? There he is, Saul. I mean, David's been anointed. He should be king. And so there's Saul in the cave, and he's at his will. David could have taken over the kingdom at that moment. In fact, his men were saying, hey, this is God's doing. It's ready. It's all there for you. Human wisdom would make you think, yes, let's go for it. But David was thinking of something else. David had something in him. I think the word of God, I think just the character of God, something in him told him, no, that's not what I should do. I'm going to have mercy on him because I'm not going to take away the life of the Lord's anointed. And he followed what he thought God was wanting him to do rather than what human intellect or human wisdom would have guided him to do. And many times in our lives, sometimes practical decisions that we have to make sometimes don't seem like the right thing to do because we're following what God tells us rather than what man's wisdom tells us. And so it is when we come to religion, we got to understand that we have revelation from God and we should not lean to our own understanding.
Amen.
When we have a direct revelation from God of what He wants, why then are we going to complicate things by adding our responses into it?
Yeah, amen.
It's an error when we rely on human reasoning rather than God's Word. We want to be guided by God's Word. And many times, human religion complicates what God has set up. And so here specifically, when he talks about preaching to them the gospel, he preached to them Christ and Christ crucified. This is a message that Paul says, I gave to you, I delivered to you, and this is something that confounds the wise. It confounds the wisdom of the world. The human religion actually thinks, and any thing that humans have tried to come up with a way to get to God is very complex, and it's just trying to do all kinds of works. It's work-based, it's merit-based. And God came up with a way to say, I'm going to confound all the wise. It's not going to be through wisdom. I'm not going to give it to those that are the wisest, the most knowledgeable ones. That's not who I'm going to give it to. I'm not going to give it to those who are the best, who are the most merited ones. He says, I'm going to give it to those whom I choose by faith. I'm going to give them the gospel. I'm going to preach to them that Christ died and His work is enough to save you from your sins.
Amen. Amen.
And those who believe are going to be the ones that receive it.
Amen.
And this is something that is not appealing to those that are wise. It's not appealing to those that think they're good. Really, if you're trying to get to heaven by your works, then the message that God is going to forgive sinners who just repent isn't appealing to you. So, Paul, I think, is emphasizing here that we should not fall into the error of human wisdom, and we should not try to change the gospel in order to be appealing to human wisdom.
Amen.
I think that's very clear.
Amen.
I think from reading this, and you can read it again, like I said, I think you should read 1 Corinthians and look at the arguments that Paul is making, but I think we've come to a point where this is a very easy mistake that we can fall into. Where we are trying to appeal to the reasoning of human wisdom that we distort the simplicity of the gospel. The gospel is simple. Paul reaffirms that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You can read it. It's good to read because it's just so simple. He says, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory that I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." Now see, I think that's a contrasting there. He says, remember what we read in verse 17 of chapter 1. He says, "Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." How can the cross of Christ be made of none effect? Well, whenever you start believing the wisdom of words and man's human's wisdom, Your faith might be misplaced. Your faith is not placed in Christ. Your faith is placed in men's wisdom, and the cross of Christ is none effect to you because you have believed in vain. You're believing the words of a man instead of believing what Jesus Christ did. And your faith is in vain. You've believed in vain. Verse 3, it says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures."
Amen.
Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures.
Right.
Boy, that's clear. Boy, that's very openly clear. Now, there's a few things that you need to understand that we can get into the rut of wanting to avoid certain topics because we want to appeal to human desires. And so let's avoid some topics such as sin, repentance, and judgment. Let's steer clear of those because that is not too attractive to human wisdom. You want to attract people? Don't talk about sin, don't talk about repentance, and don't talk about judgment. Yet that's what Paul says is the basis of Christianity.
Amen.
In Hebrews, he tells you, hey, y'all haven't even moved past the basics. The basics are repentance, sin, judgment, baptism. Come on, these are the basics. But out of our desire to appeal to human wisdom, we change the message and we distort the gospel. And that's a real danger that we need to be aware of and we need to steer clear of. This desire to appear intellectual. Distorting the simplicity of Christ because we want to sound wise to unbelievers. That's interesting, but really, as Christians, it's dangerous because you might want to feel that way. You might feel pressured to sound smart to the unbelievers. But did you hear what Paul just said? He said, listen, the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to unbelievers. There is no trying to become intellectual to unbelievers. Listen, your preaching of the gospel is going to make you appear foolish. Just accept it.
Yeah, amen.
Stop trying to compromise with the gospel so that you can sound wise. To those unbelievers, who cares? Why are we trying so hard to make the unbelievers think we're smart? That's not the point. Interesting, by what you read here, it seems like the cross is meant to display God's power, not human ability. And when we start trying to make it all about how intellectual we can be and appeal to the human senses, then we make it about human ability and not the power of God, which voids the point of what Paul is telling us, preaching the gospel. And you know, this is a good thing. It's good news, I think, for all of us that are those of the baser sort, right? That Paul says, not many mighty, not many wise. It's good for us because guess what? We can also be preachers. Boy, if it was about human ability and human wisdom, then a lot of us here would not qualify. But guess what? It's not about that. It's about God has given you a clear message, a revelation of Jesus Christ, and it's really easy to just proclaim that simple message, and people can get transformed because of the power of God. And you can be a preacher.
Yes, yeah.
Because it's not about how intellectual you are, it's about giving people what God has given us.
Amen.
The Word. So stop trying to worry about what people are going to think about you.
Right, yeah.
You're
going to
look foolish. That's the point. The cross is not appealing to man's pride. Salvation can't be earned through works. That's the gospel.
Amen.
Salvation cannot be earned by your works and by how much effort you put out and by how much you read and all of these things. That's not how you gain salvation.
Amen.
It can't be got by wisdom. It's not about how wise or smart you are or personal merit. Human wisdom actually detracts from God's power. Human wisdom, when you start trying to be intellectual and start trying to make everything about appealing to human senses and all of this, you're taking away from God's power. When you as a preacher rely on this, the focus shifts away from the cross to the ability of the speaker. And Paul made it very clear. He tried as hard as he could not to let that be the case. In other words, Paul, who could have, from the way I read it and I understand who Paul was, it seems like he could have appealed to their intellectual side. He could have made great philosophical different things and he could have come up with all this stuff to make them be wowed at how amazing he was. But he says, I did not do that.
Yeah.
He says that there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. He didn't come up to show off how much of man's wisdom and how much of ability he had. No, he did the opposite. He showed them it's the gospel message of Jesus Christ that transforms lives.
Amen.
It's not my ability of speech. He says, verse 4, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Why? "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." He wanted your faith to stand in the power of God, not in the wisdom of men. And churches, we preachers, we have to be careful because we have a desire to appeal to men's wisdom because we want to be liked. We want to be thought of as smart. I mean, who wants people to think of you as dumb? Who wants people to think of you as stupid, which is an updated translation of foolish? Who wants to be thought of as stupid? But this is what you sound like when you preach the Word of God. It really is. And when we try to align with human wisdom, that comes with the expense of biblical truth. And we don't want to fall into this mistake. In fact, Romans 1:16 says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ."
Amen.
"But you look foolish, but I'm not ashamed of it."
Amen.
And that's what we need to stand on. That's what we need to have our faith on. That no matter how foolish it may look to human wisdom, we're not going to be ashamed of it. Because it is the power of God to transform lives. And so, we don't try to change the message in order to fit the human appeal. In fact, church is not a business. Church isn't a business. That means we don't try to give the customer what they want. Right? This is what a business. A business is all about, hey, find out what the customer wants and you align yourself and give them what they want. You have to change everything, and they have to go and make marketing things, and they send out all these samples, and then everybody does polls and tells you what they like the best, and they're gonna go with the best one because they're trying to appeal to what the customer wants. Well, that's not what church is about. Church is about what God has given you to say, you say it.
Amen.
The gospel is not a product to be sold, it's a truth to be passed on.
Amen.
And we can fall down this error because we can start having an overemphasis on numbers.
Yeah.
We want numbers. We want people. We want more people. And be careful, because you don't want to distort the message in order to gain people. Not that gaining people is a bad thing. It would be great. It would be great to go from one day to another day, have 1,000 more members, but not at the expense of the message.
Amen.
We start valuing, or we overemphasize entertainment over edification. Edification. And just the word edification, right? Sounds like a lot of work. Work is implied. And yes, building any building is going to cost you a lot of work. But entertainment sounds a lot better, right? I mean, that's a better word. And so we find out that entertainment is going to bring more people. Which one's going to go? And this is the thing. Whenever you bring down human wisdom versus the revelation of God, the revelation of God is going to fall. Because you're going to end up doing what you have to do to appease human wisdom instead of just relying on the revelation that God has given you. And so when it comes to choosing between edification or entertainment, well, if you start going down the entertainment road, there's no end to it. We give a watered down gospel. Why is it that we try to fix everything that God says? We end up correcting God. Oh, we correct God's revelation because of our intellect. Oh, we've become so much more smart now. God's word is really not that relevant today. It's not updated. It's an old thing. And we come up with things like theistic evolution. Theistic evolution. Oh yes, we believe God. We believe the Bible. Oh, but look how evolution actually fits into the Bible. And we start making up all kinds of theories to try to fit the explanation of evolution because we want to pander to the intellectuals, and we come up with all kinds of crazy, and I'm telling you, they're crazy. You just start searching up all these theories that people try to do to make the Bible fit with everything the world is saying, and there's just everything out there. There's a lot out there. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Because Paul didn't leave us ignorant of these things. Paul tells us about this. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Starting in verse 6 says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." You see, he's saying, hey, be careful. Oh, all these philosophies are going to come up. All these rudiments of men, all these things. But this is all wisdom of men, and you have to beware of this. You have to be careful. Be careful when trying so hard to please human wisdom. Christian counseling. You know, Christian counseling sounds nice. And the truth is, I think a lot of these things that we have to be careful of, beware of, the reason we have to beware of them is because they're easy to fall into, because they look nice. They seem like something we should be doing. It seems like a reasonable thing, a reasonable response, a reasonable answer. Again, it's human wisdom. So it sounds right. It's like when Jesus Christ says, hey, I'm going to go up to Jerusalem and I'm going to be beaten and I'm going to be killed. Well, what did human reasoning say when, well, that's Peter. Peter says, hey, no, far be it from you to do that. That's what human reasoning came up with. And it doesn't sound bad. It doesn't sound wrong. I mean, come on. He was caring for Jesus. Did this sound like a horrible thing that Peter said? But it was against the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus rebuked him. And so we have a whole lot of things that are really creeping into the church, and they look good. They don't look harmful.
Right.
But they are harmful. And I was just looking into Christian counseling. I guess it just sounds better, you know, Christian counseling than you know, whatever. Just go to the pastor and talk to them about the Word of God. What does God say? You know, it's Christian counseling, and it sounds really nice. But I do think that it's stepping away from biblical instruction to the philosophical side of things. And it's slow steps, and that's the thing about these things. They can start off very slow, but then you find yourself really deep into just pandering to human intellect.
Right. Yeah.
So it's dangerous.
Yeah.
While we're on that, let's go to 2 Timothy, because I want to see what Paul says. We'll go to 2 Timothy and then we'll go to 1 Timothy just because I want this to be clear. Paul didn't say, and some might think, well, that was for Paul. Paul didn't preach with wisdom, but he's telling us we should. And Paul didn't do this, but we should. No, Paul didn't do it, and Paul exhorts Timothy to do the same thing. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." Humans don't like sound doctrine. And so we become teachers of error and deception because we're wanting to give the customer what they want.
Amen. Amen.
And that's the danger Paul warns Timothy about. 1 Timothy, we'll go there too. Or no, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, right there before. He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And guess what, Christian? Amen. You have all that you need.
Amen.
Right there.
Amen.
To become perfect. To become mature, to become complete, to have a good marriage, to have a good parenting, to have good children. You have everything you need right there.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
But we're turning away from this because it doesn't sound, it's not anymore what our culture is about. We've changed. And so we don't need this old book anymore. And we're giving up God's word because we want to give Christian counseling. In this Christian counseling, you hardly hear the things that the Bible would teach. And like I said, it starts in stages, but it ends badly. It really does. They don't talk about, you don't own your body. You don't own your body. That's what the Bible says. You're a Christian. Guess what? You've been bought with a price. You don't own your own body. No, you can't do what you want with your body. No, you have to give an account to God what you do with your body.
Amen.
But people don't want to hear that. Husband, guess what? You don't own your own body because you know what the Bible says? Your wife owns your body.
Amen.
You can't go do whatever you want with your body. All those things you're doing, don't do it. Your wife owns your body.
Right.
There's a whole lot of things that the Bible tells you and teaches you that you won't hear from Christian counseling because they don't want to give you the Word of God. They want to appease your intellect. I looked up this one. It's called The Christian Closet. It's Christian therapists who help reconcile your faith with your gender and sexual identity. They're all Christian therapists. Like I said, it's worse and worse. I know it seems harmless at the beginning. And that's where it's really hard to make decisions on how we go and where we go. And you know, don't be too hard on those that are making decisions about the church, because guess what? Those decisions are leading somewhere. And so, okay, well, why don't we just put a stage? Why don't we just do this or that? Listen, we don't want things that are going to come down in the future because of these little steps that we start taking right now. So, what has happened? We started off giving in to all these little things, and now we have Christian therapists that are reconciling all the sexual impurities that you want to do with your faith. As if it's something that's okay. The Bible does say, speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. And we should do that.
Amen.
That means we shouldn't change the truth, and we shouldn't throw away love. And you know, dealing on homosexuality, this is one of the hardest ones probably right now for preachers to actually do. It's hard to find a preacher that will actually stand up and preach a message on homosexuality the way God wants it to be preached. It's really hard because you have to hold on to truth, but you have to do it in love, and it's kind of hard to do. But it can be done. You don't have to just throw away the truth, and you don't have to get rid of love. You have to love and speak the truth. And there's a man named Walter Heyer. He was a former transgender, and he became a Christian. And I actually think that he has a really good take on it. I mean, he actually got saved from it. He got saved out of it.
Amen.
And he says a few things, and he says, man, churches are not doing it right. He says, compassion does not mean affirmation.
There you go.
You don't have to affirm people in their wrong way of thinking for them to think it's compassion. Listen, compassion isn't just affirming everything they say.
Amen.
Gender issues, he says, gender issues are symptoms of a deeper issue.
Amen.
And you need help with that deeper issue.
Amen.
And he says, the church must be bold and honest. Directness leads to clarity and healing. And this is him who has been saved from that, saying, this is what I needed, and I wasn't hearing it. People were affirming me, and I just kept getting worse and worse. They need to hear the real message. But you do need to do it in love, right? And so there's a balance on how to do these things. Again, almost everything we do has to be balanced, and we have to understand what we're doing and why we're doing it. But what we're trying to point out is it is a mistake to replace God's word and God's revelation with man's wisdom.
Right.
It's a mistake, and it's a hard one to catch because it's deceptive. It feels good. It feels good to be liked. And you know, it looks good. It looks good when there's a lot of growth. But it's an error nonetheless. And it's an error we must avoid because it leads to biblical loss. It leads to getting rid of the Bible. When we become dependent on men's wisdom, well, we become less dependent on the Word of God. And that's what it will lead to. It makes us dependent on human methods. And that only gets worse and worse. If we're going to compete in the entertainment business, I don't think we would make it that far. We would just have to keep on getting, there's no end to it. Why are we even striving to compete with what's on television and the big concerts they hold? Why? That's not what church is about. And so we shouldn't make it about that. That should not be our priority. And it does become. If you're going to compete with the entertainment business, you're going to have to make that your priority. Because there's no competing with them.
Right.
Unless you do prioritize that. And so again, we have to make the preaching of the word of the cross of Christ the focus.
Amen.
And it has to be our priority. And you know, on that note, I think it's a parental mistake to think that a church has to have a huge youth program, and that's the priority for seeking a church. Now, I think that's what it seems like. The priority for seeking a church many times is they need to have a huge youth program. And listen, I don't think youth programs are wrong or all bad. I think there are some probably really good ones that focus purely on the word. But what I say is it's a parental mistake because parents make the mistake with human wisdom where we think we can just go drop off our kids and let the church teach them and they're going to grow up learning from the church and they'll grow up into beautiful Christians. Listen, that's not how it works. The best chance you have for your kids is for you to believe the Word of God, for you to love the Word of God, for you to study the Word of God, for you to talk to them about the Word of God, and it be something they see in you.
Amen.
That's the best chance you're going to have with your children.
Amen.
If you think you can just go off and give them to the church, and they don't see any interest in you putting interest in the Bible, then I think you might be mistaken.
Amen.
And the reason I say that is because we do have a big youth program here. We have Monday night Bible studies. We have some Thursday night Bible studies. We have Wednesday prayer meetings. We have Saturdays they pass out tracts. Some Sundays we go out preaching. And guess what? You can come to all those things. And you can bring your kids to all those things.
Amen.
And your kids can get excited about all those things.
Amen.
I'm telling you, it's real. It happened to me. I didn't have a huge youth program when I was growing up. I didn't know hardly any other youth in the church. There wasn't any when we were starting the church out with three people. But you know what I saw? I was taken to studies. I was taken to preaching. I was taken to meetings. And guess what? I got interested in it. And God can catch a hold of your young people too.
Amen.
But just be interested in it.
Amen.
Go study. Go preaching.
Amen.
Don't think that we need this human wisdom and methods to accomplish God's work. God's work is not in necessity of your human wisdom and your human methods. And we do need to be afraid of making human wisdom the priority in God's work.
Amen.
So preachers, we need to prioritize faithfulness to God's word over popularity.
Amen.
2 Timothy says in 2:15, study to show thyself approved. Study the word. Study the word. Be faithful to the word to show yourself approved. To humans? No. He says unto God. That's who you need to study to show yourself approved to. That's who you need to be concerned with. We're not concerned with seeking to please all humans and their wisdom and their intellect. Listen, you're going to get nowhere there. You can't even please the people in this room. But you can please God. And that should be your goal. That should be your aim.
Amen.
And then the hearers, we need to value conviction over comfort. Because yes, when the preaching of God's word comes upon us, it will bring conviction. I mean, that's just how it is. That's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to be a double-edged sword that cuts through all that. And we need to embrace the teachings that challenge us to grow. Grow in holiness, even when that's uncomfortable. And so we need to guard ourselves from relying on human wisdom rather than the Word of God and His revelation. We need to guard ourselves from human wisdom because that is an error that we can fall into and we need to be aware of it.
Amen.
So that's what I have for today. We'll be back next week on this subject of 1 Corinthians. We're going to take a little break and then we'll be back with the second hour.
Amen.